Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Spring Semester 2016. Lecture 9, delivered on February 10, 2016. The title of this lecture is Annuities and Perpetuities in Practice.
Today, Annuities and Perpetuities in Practice. This is a relatively short lecture. I've shown you all the tools, and I'm just going to show you a couple of problems that you might encounter in the real world or on a test involving these kinds of patterns of cash flows. One warning I want to give you, in the test for this chapter, and I had to search to find it to make sure it was still there. I tried to kill it, and then that didn't work, so I tried to kill it with fire, and it's still showing up. There's one problem that involves a baseball contract, and it is one of the most fiendish problems I have ever seen, and none of the answers they give you is right. So go ahead and do that one, and if it looks like I'm going to have my tires slashed, I'll just give you all the credit for that problem. Honestly, that one is just, I worked it out, and then I handed it to another finance jockey, and we both got the same result, and it was actually really hard because the problem was a little vague in its description of a couple of things, and our result was the same, and it was not what any of the answers were that were offered. So go ahead and do that problem. Pull your hair out, cuss and swear, but don't slash my tires. I'll after the test is over, I'll give everyone the credit for that problem. Promise. But anyway. Let me try this. Sir, you're looking like, oh, God, he's going to bother me. Yeah, sir, why are you here?
That's a good question.
That's a bad answer.
Well, we're in class.
Well, no, concentrate. Why are you in college?
Oh, to get a degree.
No, that's not why. No, that's not why you're here. Here's what I say. To learn. Don't blow smoke up my butt and tell me you're having a barbecue behind me in my honor, okay? You are not here to learn. You are here because... Dude, why are you here?
Increase my value?
Yes! You want to make more... You could go right out of high school and get a job. You really could. Yeah, I know. It's an exciting thing. You could make $10... $8 an hour. The reason you go to college, now certainly there is that, I want the college experience. I want to have the chance to maybe actually talk to girls or to, I might be here because otherwise I would never know what quality campus drugs are like or something like that. But, honestly, at the end of the day, you would see very few people in a college if you could go right out of high school and get a very high-paying job. The question is, and it has been posed in a number of forums, is the college education worth it to you in terms of the present value of your future expected earnings? Now, I can get the model very more complicated, and we can track it out. But suppose that you could come out of high school and you could get a job at $24,000 a year. And the path of the, well, yeah, $24,000 a year. No, you're valuable. You're a handsome young stud. You can do something like male escort. But anyway, the deal here is that, let's say $24,000 a year, and that would grow over a period you would work for 50 years at an average rate of, let's say, 4%. Now, that is a very low-risk prospect, so a discount rate that I would apply to that would not be that substantial. I would probably place a discount rate on those kinds of cash flows because you're just going out and getting a job. So I would have a timeline that would be at year zero. Now your first, we'll say all your earnings are at the end of the year to simplify it a little bit. Your earnings would be $24,000, and then they'd be, for the second year, they'd be $24,000 plus 4%. Year three, similarly. And we would say that you would have a working life of, let's say, you're 18 coming out. Let's say you had a working life to about, say, 73 years old. Okay, clear out here to 73 years. 70, 71, 72, 73. Now I'm going to show you how we deal with modeling in an environment like this. At a discount rate, now you could do this. This would be what? No, I'm sorry, that would actually, I'm incorrect here. That would be a working life of 55 years, wouldn't it? 18, yeah, that would, I'm sorry about that, because you're starting at 18, you're not starting at zero, damn those child labor laws. So 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55. Now, if I wanted to find the present value of that, I could do a really blunt force approach, and actually, it wouldn't be that hard to do in an Excel. Is to just take 24,000 and each cell below it 4% more than the cell above it, and then take the present value of that mass of data. Just take the present value and add all of those up, 55 years of productive life. There's actually a simpler way to do it that's not going to give you the exact right answer, but it's going to give you a darn good approximation. This time stream is long enough that it has the features of a perpetuity. Do you see that at 55 years, that's almost an eternity. As far as the discounted cash flows clear out here at 55 years are so minimal that I probably am going to get an answer pretty darn close to the same as if I did it the real exact way, if I just treat this as a perpetuity, a constant growth perpetuity. So in other words, the present value is approximately a perpetuity of $24,000 grown one period. Remember, you always have to use one period out from where you start to do this. Divided by, and let's say discount again at 6%. So we would say here, 0.06 minus 0.04. Remember, the perpetuity formula is the present value of the perpetuity is the cash flow at period 1 over K minus G. And the cash flow at period 1 is, what is that? CF0 times 1 plus G. I want to get a pretty close estimate of the right answer doing this. So let's find out what it would be worth to you. If I were to honk that thing up and do it on a calculator, and you ought to do this too, just to make sure you can do it, 24 grand. I think I put that wrong, that 24,000 should be at the beginning, and it should be, that 24 should be at period zero because you're starting right out of college. But let's work it out here anyway. Divided by 0.02. Oops, clear that out. 24,000 times 1.04 divided by 0.06 minus 0.04 is 0.02. 1,248,000 dollars. Roughly, that is the present value. That's what you are worth now, based upon just coming out of high school, getting a $24,000 a year job, and that salary increases 4% a year. Now, if I did it the actual way, it would come out to be surprisingly close to this. Now, there's a practical application to this. Do you have life insurance? You do or don't? You don't know? I know, right? A lot of people, at your age especially, probably do on a parent's policy or at least it closely expired. But one thing that is important to notice here is that you now have a reasonable basis for the payoff of a policy, of an insurance policy, life insurance policy, at about the age of 18. You should probably take out term life insurance for about $1.2 million, because that is what you would lose by dying at an early age. And as you get older, you would probably back that down by life insurance that would be of lower value, because you would be, well, you wouldn't know that. I shouldn't say that. At different periods of time in your life, maybe at 10 years, 15, 20, reevaluate what the present value of your future expected earnings is, and that's the basis for what you would put, size of the policy that you would take out, the life insurance policy. Now, let's do this. Assuming that you still would retire at 73, but you would actually have, you're going to wait to work, you're going to actually go to school, and you're going to pay for that school too. Let's say that, well, let's try this. What would you estimate right now, just off the top of your head, what's the average salary of a business degree graduate from ISU? Just take a stab. Do you know, or have they told you? Oh, God, it's a little better than that, I would hope. Unless you're majoring in marketing, then it's 10. No, I shouldn't do that. I love marketing, but it's tough to get a job in marketing these days. Okay, it's actually better than that. Anyone want to take a stab at it? Not with guys like you. That's high. No, it's about, let's take a stab around, it's around 50. And that's taking an average of the accounting majors, which get stupidly high salaries, and then the others who get the degrees that don't pay as much, the marketing, just straight up business administration. HR is still paying fairly low, although the demand for that is going up now. And remember, in marketing, that's highly variable, depending upon if you get the quantitative, that new quantitative analytics concentration, your market value goes up substantially, because that's such huge stuff, big data and all that now. So it's all over the board. But just as a rough average, about $50,000 a year. But you would be postponing that 4 years out, okay? So your productive life begins 4 years, your productive life begins 4 years later, and it would still terminate at about 73 years. So essentially what would happen here is that your timeline is going to be suspended. And what I'm doing is I'm showing you how these problems in the test and the quiz in Chapter 4 are not that hard, but you just have to begin to conceptualize and also lay out these timelines. They are so good for helping you out. So what's going to happen here? Your first year, second year, third year, fourth year. So you're going to start here, and we're going to say about $50,000 a year. From there on out. And there's going to be still, there's going to be 55 periods involved . It's still pretty close to a perpetuity. It's a little bit thinner than a perpetuity. But what's going to happen at this point in time is that you are going to get the present value of the perpetuity right here. Then you need to take that back as a lump sum to now, or at least when you start college, to see what your value is. Okay? So, let's say it's $50,000. Now, there's one other thing that will probably be the case because you have a college degree. The growth rate of your salary will be a little better. Your growth rate of your salary will be a little better. However, countering that, your risk is going to be higher because there's no guarantee. We can't give you a job certificate. Give this man a job. So it might turn out that I have students who come out and they get jobs that are really great. And then I have a student, I still see him, he's still the assistant manager at Schnucks, where he has been ever since he started college. He drinks himself into the ground every night, and then he bitches about how bad life is and how ugly his wife is. She does the same thing to him, except she's not drunk, so she's probably more accurate. So the reality is that there is a higher risk. You're bearing a higher risk for a higher expected return, right? I mean, that there's no guarantee you're going to get a great job. I ran into a guy, he was a student here of mine like 8 years ago in FIL 240, and I ran into him at the Woodfield Mall. He's selling men's suits at the Macy's up there, bitching his head off about what a phony degree it was. Well, you know, he never came, asked for help with getting job references, didn't do the internships and all that. But there is the risk. There is more risk. So let's say the discount rate. There's almost no risk. You come out of high school, grab a job, 6%. So let's say the discount rate on this. I'm going to pop the discount rate on this up to about 9%, a little bit higher discount rate. And here I'm showing you about that relationship between the discount rate and risk. Higher risk cash flows require higher discount rates. But countering that, you're probably going to have a growth rate on your salary that's better. Your growth rate is going to probably top 5%. I'm going to put it at about 6% for a growth rate on salaries. That might be a little generous, but the point here is I'm showing you a little bit about the modeling of it. So the present value of the perpetuity, which in this case is going to last 51 years, still that's close to a perpetuity, so I'm not going to worry about the difference in the time. But the present value of the perpetuity right here would be 50,000 times 1 plus 0.06 divided by 0.09 minus 0.06. Classic perpetuity formula. Now, honking that guy out, I would take 50,000 grown one period and then divide that by 0.03, and I get $176,667. But that's its value right there. $1,766,667. But I'm still going to have to bring that back three periods, so I'll just do that by the classic lump sum formula. Oops. Times 1.03 to the negative third power. Doing that, just timesing it, in other words, the present value of a lump sum 3 years out. That's not 1.03. I'm sorry, that's 1.09. The discount rate is 9%, 1.09 to the negative third. 1.09 to the negative third. Seriously, where's my pause and egg button on this idiotic thing? Oh. Equals 136,000. $1,364,000. So here, this thing is worth $1,364,000. $191, roughly. So here's the difference in your lifetime earnings. The difference in your lifetime earnings, getting a degree, right now, well, when you start out of high school, would be $1,364,191 minus $1,248,000, about dollars. 14,6,1. So the difference in your lifetime's earnings as a present value is $116,191. Okay? Now, you have to measure that against the cost of your education. In other words, in order to get that bump in present value of $116,191, you have to pay tuition for 4 years. Okay? So what do you think that would be right now, your tuition for 4 years? If you took the present value of the tuition your freshman year, your sophomore year, your junior year, your senior year, and including books, but not including expenses, because you would have expenses whether you were in college or not. It's just the books, but not hardly anything else. So tuition here in state is what about every year? Got a stab at it? What is it? $1,300 a class? They're charging that much for me teaching you? So what is it full time? Is there a number?
He's like $14,000 a year.
I was thinking it was something along that line.
Yeah,
but the problem is, of course, you have variable. Some people, I'm taking 50,000 credit hours. You are on crack, too. But then you have other people who are going slower, like 12 credit hours. Roughly speaking, it actually is around, the number that is thrown around is about 12 to 14. Let's take it on the high side of about 14,000. Now, if you took that as a four-year annuity, 14,000, and it would be an annuity due. If you were to take a $14,000 annuity due, well, let me work that out. And that's where I would use the Pearson calculator to do it. Let me pull that up here. Projector on. I'm going to pull the financial calculator up here and just do a quick dirty present value of a 14,000, and your tuition is locked in, of course, so your financial calculator is going to be your friend for a calculation like this. Seriously? There we go. So in a case like this, what I would want to do is I would want to find out the present value for four years is the N. The I over Y, right now, I would put a discount rate on that, probably really low, a discount rate on that, because interest rates in general are very low right now, probably around 2.9% I over Y, one period per year. And the payments are $14,000 every year, payments. And then I'm going to say this is an annuity due, because you have to pay it at the beginning of every year. Do you see how the timeline shifted forward? Payment at your beginning of your freshman year, sophomore year. It's not an ordinary annuity. It's an annuity due because the payments are happening at the beginning. Now let's find out the present value of that, compute the present value of that. A little less than 54 grand as a present value. So we can compare that to gain the $116,000 bump as in present value. You would have to take out that much money, $53,676. So that would be 5, 1, 11 minus 6 is 5. God, I so suck at arithmetic anymore. It just scares me. See that number right there, 62,000? That's your difference in your earnings going to college, the present value of your difference in earnings going to college versus just starting out at work in high school, minus what it costs you as a present value to get that difference. That's $62,515 is the net difference. We call that the net present value of the project. The NPV of the project. This is a positive net present value project. Okay? You see that. And in finance, all that matters for any project is whether or not the net present value is positive. If it is positive, we accept the project. If it is negative, we reject it. There is no other decision criterion. You can have a couple others like the internal rate of return. I'll show you the difference. But this is the standard core decision-making tool. And that's what I was trying to get this to, using some simplifications along the way. Going to college is a positive net present value project, provided you get a decent paying job out of the gate when you finish it. And that, however, now there's something interesting that's going on here. Thinking about this in a larger socioeconomic sense, if the minimum wage at the federal level, as has been pushed by some, and it might actually come to this, if the federal minimum wage goes to $15 per hour, something interesting begins to happen. $15 an hour, if I were to whip that up, $15 an hour times a 40-hour per week work week times 50 weeks a year, assuming 2 weeks of vacation, is a $30,000 a year annual salary. $30,000. In other words, if the minimum wage actually gets bumped up to $15 an hour, this perpetuity, the one where you just go come out of high school and get a job, a minimum wage job or something like that, suddenly begins to compete more seriously. That NPV that's positive might not be quite so strong. As a matter of fact, it might not be positive. You can do the calculation yourself. But interestingly enough, if the wage gap is closed between high school and college earners, this might actually become a negative net present value project. As it stands now, it's a positive net present value project. Okay? That is an interesting consequence of bumping up the minimum wage. It creates an incentive for individuals to enter the workforce earlier, which means that their cash flow, their income stream starts earlier, and therefore they end up with a higher net present value of earnings right now. So the bottom line for you is, yes, this is actually a positive net present value project. As long as you're going to a decent school where you can come out with a decent salary, targeting around $50,000 a year. This, and then you can do a sensitivity analysis, which we do in financial planning. We're doing this for colleges too. How far down can that slip before you begin to start, it really is no longer worth it for people to go to college. One of the rating agencies for colleges actually look at the entering the workforce earnings of graduates, because they know that about 50 grand a year as an average, you dip much below 45, and that college is really not giving enough value added for people to be going there. They don't say that, they just don't give the college that those high credit accreditation ratings in the private rating services. So there's a little bit of a background. Also, another thing too. When you come out of college, you're going to need to get some life insurance, okay? One of the things that you don't want to do is have a life insurance agent sell you more insurance than you need. Because when you die, it doesn't matter to you what happens. You're dead, okay? You're with Jesus or whatever. So understand that you should have an actuarially fair policy. So if you start out with a policy at, let's say, that has a payoff value of about $1.4 million, then every 10 years, you figure out the present value of your remaining cash flow stream and then adjust your policy as such. That's why we have something called term life insurance instead of whole life insurance. You buy life insurance for a term, and then you reevaluate once that term's over. You reevaluate, and you buy a new term of life insurance based upon your circumstances. In your case, you may end up at year 10. You're not making $80,000 a year. You're making $120,000. Turned out you were actually intelligent and you were vicious. You were an animal in the business environment. With you, you're still making $50,000 a year because they just kind of forgot about you at the annual wage review and you were too afraid to ask them about it. So every 10 years or so, reevaluate what your prospects are in this. Now, taking that one off the board here for a few minutes, a little bit, I'm going to show you a few more that we do and that are relevant for the test. In one way or another, you'll see something like this. More than once, there's going to be more than one way to do a problem. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Obviously, that is not good for the cats, but here's something. Okay. You will receive an annuity that begins today and lasts for 25 years. The annuity starts with $5,000 and grows at 4% every year. What is this annuity worth right now? Assuming a discount rate of 7.5%. Now, I did not give you, remember I gave you annuity formulas for a cash flow, a level annuity formula. Level annuity due, level an ordinary level annuity. There is not an exact, there is not a formula for a growth annuity. So this one could be a real pain in the ass. Because what you would more or less, unless you're thinking carefully about how timelines work, what did I say for this one? 25 years, zero, one, two, three, 23, 24, 25. The annuity starts now with $1,000, and then it goes to $1,000 plus 4%. Well, I'm sorry, it was 5,000, yeah. And then from there, here two, that with 4%. So what you would basically be doing, let me do that, 5,000 times 1.04, 5,000, try that one more time, times 1.04 equals 5,200. So it would be at year one, 5,200. At year two, times 1.04, $5,408. Actually, the annuity stops here. If I said 25 years, the annuity would stop here at 24. That's always a problem, knowing which where to stop it. But anyway, you would have to calculate each one of these and then take the present value of each one of these and add them up to get the present value of this growing annuity. That could be a real pain in the ass because, let me think here. 52, okay, 5,000 times 1.04 to the 24th power. Whoa! No, that can't be right, can it? Huh? I did. Oh, there. I was going to say something was really wrong there. Thank you. 1.04 equals 1. Yeah, that was right. That one was right. 5,000 times 1.04 equals, yeah, 5,200. But then, yeah, that other one was, I see what you're saying, I'm sorry. 5,000 times 1.04 to the 24th power is $12,817. $12,817, about. And when you're getting into these kinds of numbers, it's like, why, don't even worry about the dollars and cents, except on those tests where they get really bitchy about that. But you see, you would have to do the present value, 5,000 plus 5,200 discounted back one period, plus 5,408 discounted back. You would have to add those all up. That's a pain in the ass to do that. But there's another way that you could pull it off. What I could do is I could say, what is the present value of a perpetuity that begins here, growing at 4%, minus the present value of that perpetuity here, growing at 4%. In other words, the present value of this, if it were going on forever, would be $5,000 grown one period over my discount rate, like that. If I were to do that, 5,000 divided by, times 1.04 divided by 0.075 minus 0.04. My ass. Try that again. 5,200 divided by 0.075 minus 0.04, close the parentheses, equals $148,517. Now, watch the trick that I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is find what the present value of this part of the stream is as a perpetuity from there forever. Can you tell me what that number would be? It's not that hard to do, because if I wanted to know what the present value of that was here, I would take the $12,817 grown one period divided by 0.075 minus 0.04. That would tell me the present value of this piece of this perpetuity out here. And then I could pull that back to here and take it away from there. These are like, if you remember in high school somewhere, they showed you Venn diagrams. This is the high-powered equivalent at the college level of basically like Venn diagrams. Where do the intersections happen of these different cash flows? And if this isn't clear to you, just look at it a couple of times and it'll begin to make sense. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that $12,817, and I'm going to times that by 1.04, and then I'm going to divide that result by 0.075 minus 0.04, close the parentheses. My ass. Try that again. $12,817 times 1.04 divided by 0.075 minus 0.04, 0.035 equals $380,848. Now I'm going to pull that back 24 years. 380,848 divided, well, times 1.075, the discount rate, to the negative 24th power. And again, this will fog your mind for a while. 75 to the negative 24th power. 67,134. That is 67,134. So I would take the present value of just a 25-year annuity would be $148,517. That's the present value of the perpetuity going forever from now, minus the present value of that same perpetuity, but strung out way out there at 24, at year 24, 67,134. If I do that, 3,8,3,1. There's my answer right there. Now, none of the test questions or quiz questions are quite that intense. I kind of take you way over the top so that when you see the ones that they'll show you, they're like bunny cakes compared to this one. But it's the same principle is involved. sometimes what you have to do is think about making something into a perpetuity and then looking at another perpetuity that is identical but hanging out there many years in the future. And then you can sort of like take one away from the other and get your answer that you're looking for, interestingly enough. Because, and in this case, the reason I did it was that there's just no annuity formula for a growing cash flow. We have a level annuity formula, annuity due and ordinary annuity, but we don't have one where it's growing. So either you do a trick like this, or if you want to, you can just use brute force and take the present value of each of these for 24 years, you'll get the same answer. Which one is better? Actually, if you want to be honest about it, if you know Excel, you could probably do the blunt brute force way pretty darn fast in Excel, honestly. Just take the present values of all of those cash flows. And I'm not sure if you're... Well, let me try this. Madam, do you have mad Excel skills? You don't. Have you ever used it before?
Yeah.
This is actually one of those places where it might not even hurt to try to do Excel, and that was the last thing that I wanted to show you very quickly. What I would do is I would simply lay out 1, 2, and then I would lay out 24 years. I can't even see what I'm doing here. 24 years. And then what I would do is I would lay in my cash flow. Whoops, I'm going to have to put in a zero here. Zero. And then what I would do is I would take 5,000 times 1.04 to the number here. Oh, I guess I have to say equals whatever. Yeah. Don't tell me what's wrong with my damn cash interest rate. It's to the that number. And then I could just run that. There's your 24-year cash flow right there. There it is. Okay? And then what I could do is I could just take the present value of each of those, the lump sums of them, and what I would do there is I would say that equals as a lump sum that number times my discount rate, 1 plus my discount rate, to the that power, and run that down. And that's all the present values. And then I could say equals the sum of those. There it is. Can you hook me up with that little beauty right there? See, what I'm doing is I'm using the years as the exponents. That's why you always want to put in your years somewhere in this trick. Because if I can do that, see, all that's happening is I'm taking 1.075 to the zeroth power, 1.075 to the first power, to the negative, I'm sorry. Why does that suck? I want to divide that. Oh. I wanted to do the negative of that. Sorry about that. To the negative. Yeah, there we go. That makes more sense. And I could do it that way. There's a difference in what I got there versus here. I'm sure there is because I used the wrong scale, the wrong time number on this one. But do you see how clean it is if you do it in Excel? See how fast it is? if you're doing Excel. I mean, this is what everyone is pushing for. I'm talking, and these business people are coming in to speak to my finance students. Business people are coming in to speak into, and they're not just finance people. They're looking for marketing. They're looking for all kinds of majors. They're saying these Excel skills. If you can do this kind of a little quick, dirty trick, you've got pretty decent skills. The other thing that is a big thing, and I'll tell you this right now, and I'm hearing more and more about this, is that they want you, one, to have Excel skills. Just to be able to throw something like this down without breaking a sweat. The other thing is that with Excel, they want you to know how to do reporting dashboards or dashboard reporting. Have you been introduced to that term anywhere yet in your accounting courses or business of any kind? Okay, the dashboard is where you make this pretty so that it looks like it's not an Excel front end. And it also makes it so the data entry by people who don't know what Excel is about, they can just see, put a number here. And then when it's all done, a pretty graph comes out, a report comes out, and it looks like it's not Excel because you've wiped out the cell things, and it looks like just like an app of some kind, but it's still Excel. That's the other trick, and if I have a chance, I'm going to have to show you a little bit of that because I have a feeling no one's showing you that stuff yet here in the College of Business. But this is the basis, being able to just throw together a quick, dirty spreadsheet like this. And you might want to have an Excel spreadsheet open, as well as your financial calculator, when you're doing the quiz and the homework quiz and test for Chapter 4, because you might find that some of those questions, you'll hammer them out for like 5 or 10 minutes, when if you put it into Excel, just boom, within, look, what did that take me, about a minute or so? Yeah, that's an important thing for you to know, those mad Excel skills, and I'm going to be showing you more about that. Now that I've finally gotten over to the point where I can show you Excel, I'll show you a lot more things that you can do in Excel that will make you stronger for employment and also make it easier for you to do some of this finance stuff that we're doing here. That's all I have for you. I thank you.